Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
I was given the topic because we're doing Kingdom Values. We're taking a little break out of the Book of Acts, which is really awesome. I got to say, I'm loving hanging out in the Book of Acts. And so said, okay, let's do a Kingdom Value today. And so then Mark and I were talking, you know, well, okay, what Kingdom Value are we going to do? And then it's like, oh, we're going to do the Kingdom Value of Generosity because that fits real perfect right here as we get into the season of giving. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And so then Marco goes, and oh, I've got to go to South Africa. So, you know, I'll be gone for 2 weeks. And I was like, well, dude, you know, so I'll do the Kingdom Value so you don't have to be preparing to preach while you're flying on an airplane, suffering from jet lag, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, I stop and go, oh, so I got to do generosity. Great. You know, the thing everybody loves to preach about, money. You, come on. And, you know, it's like, oh, welcome to the church. We're preaching about money. Give us all your money. And so I'm like, oh, come on, man. I don't want to really preach about generosity, but it's a, you know, it's a thing. It's real. It's in the Bible. And Jesus talked more about money than he talked about heaven and hell. So I'm like, okay, fine. I know all that stuff. And so now I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it and I'm praying. I'm like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And so, you know, I go to the traditional good giving verse that we'll look at here in a minute. But then Monday morning, I usually, my practice is I get up, I don't know, 5:30, and I, you know, do my devotions and I sit for about an hour and just pray and think through this stuff. And so then I'm praying. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, generosity, you know, let's make this spicy. We got to do something. And then I'm thinking, okay, so what, you know, what's really, you know, my thing is I want to know what's underneath generosity, you know, because it's like, okay, we're going to give, blah, 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 blah. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, everybody, you know, loves that good scripture, right? It's good scripture, isn't it? Good scripture, Mark, huh? Yes, amen. Hallelujah. And I'm like, okay, God loves a cheerful giver, but I want to know, so I'm like, Lord, what's underneath generosity? And I'm just sitting, I'm praying, I'm like, what is it? And it's just like, you know, one of these cool moments when God says, he says, you know, I'm like, yeah, and it's gratitude. And I was like, so I get to preach on two Kingdom Values then? So I get to somehow throw that together, because I told Marco, I texted him, said, we're preaching on generosity and gratitude, because I think generosity, basically, when gratitude takes over your life, then generosity is just natural, you know? I mean, when I'm super grateful, then it's awesome. So let me just tell you that gratitude is not my normal attitude. Whoa, come on. It's not. And so I'm, yeah, Alicia, good luck trying to follow me, brother. Try. Do the best you can, pal. And so I, Monday, then my daughter, which you all know, Audrey, she's off at school, and she sends me this little invite thingy through YouVersion Bible app, you know, where you can, hey, let's all do, you know, this Bible reading thing plan together. And so she sends me this Bible reading plan thing to join her on Thanksgiving and gratitude. Same day, Monday. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, Lord. You know, learn me about some gratitude. And so we started doing that gratitude thing. And I'm reading through that, and I'm like, yeah, Lord. And God's just like, you know, kind of gently on me saying, Charlie, you need to work on your attitude, pal. You need to work on this gratitude thing, because gratitude, it changes a lot. And I remember a girl I hired years ago, she had written a blog about how gratitude just really, you know, prevents all sorts of nasty attitude, et cetera. And don't you just hate that gratitude rhymes with attitude, but it works. And so I've been challenged this week, and I hope that you're going to get challenged too, and see what happens. Because First Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm like, well, that's awesome. That's just impossible. You know, give thanks in all circumstances. Super. Gratitude's not normal. It's just not normal for me. It's not normal for your flesh. It's not normal for the lost. And I believe, after I've just spent time in this, that gratitude is a thing that the Spirit produces in us. And we're going to see here just in a second. I'm just in awe of it. And I'm like, you know, Charlie, I mean, I'm driving along now all week going, let's be grateful for this. Let's be grateful for that. And then something happens and I'm like, but wait, what can I be grateful for with this? And so I'm like, yeah, be grateful. You know, I go for a ride with Lauren Goot and he kicks my tail and I'm grateful that I didn't die. You know, it's like I made it to the end. So I'm grateful that in spite of the fact that I exceed my max heart rate too often, I don't have a heart attack. Amen. So, you know, and I still make it back home, and I can recover for a long time. So, it's not a normal thing, but I think it's a command. It's a command. I mean, see, look, when you're commanded to do stuff, you know, that just doesn't feel awesome. You're commanded to be grateful. So that kind of feels like, oh, that kind of takes the yippee-ki-yay out of it, you know? It's like, I'm commanded to be grateful. Well, then it must not really be sincere. If you have to do it, then you're not sincere. And I'm like, but when I'm commanded to do something, maybe it's because God has this really awesome plan, because he knows that when I force myself to look different and to say, I need to be grateful here, it starts changing the way that I see stuff. And I was like, wow, God, you like know stuff. It's like, God, you know how I was made and you know what works. I'm like, okay, fine, God, I'll work on this gratitude stuff. And so I'm like, yes, here I go. I'm gonna learn to be grateful. And hopefully you guys, you know, y'all are probably already like way down the road, so you can just say, well, Charlie, good job, buddy, you're learning. And it'll be awesome. So I don't know if you've ever known a grateful person, that they're just like always thankful, you know. And I thought back to college. I met this guy named Tony Russell, and Tony was just like this. He just oozed joy and gratitude, and I ooze competition, and so he and I would play ping pong, because that's about all I did my first semester of college, which almost killed me. But I got really good at ping pong. So if you want to play, come on. But we'd be playing ping pong, be like, rah, rah, yeah, you know, and then I would like smash him, just like, and he'd go, that's a really good shot, Charlie. I'd be like, oh, you're supposed to go, oh, you know, you're supposed to wilt in my presence. But he'd be like, that was good, good job, that's great, you know, and then he would beat me and say, good game, Charlie, that was awesome, you know, and I'd be sitting there going, oh, ah, you know, because he was just this joyful, gracious guy. He was just the most gracious guy I ever met. He didn't know how to do laundry, sadly. First time he did laundry, he, like, bubbles were coming out of the machine. I didn't know that was a possibility, that bubbles could just come out of a washing machine like you would see in a movie, just, you know, I was like, it's alive. But he was the most gracious guy that I ever met. But here's the thing. So gratitude is our heart's chosen reaction, and it's empowered by grace, empowered by the gospel of grace. So as I got to looking into this gratitude, I got in Hebrews 12, verse 28. It says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Sometimes my little kingdom gets shaken. You know, you get your little plans going and you're just going along and you're like, and then boom, something happens that's not what you wanted or expected. And I go, and then I have to stop and be grateful. I had something like that happen this week and Crystal reminded me, well, Charlie, we're just grateful that we get to do this now. Da, 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 da. I was like, yes, we are grateful. You know, and so as you can see, guys, this is a struggle for me, so here I am. But when my little kingdom, you know, gets shaken, nothing's going the way I want, that's when I find gratitude strangely absent. And I'm like, oh, I've got to switch. That's why gratitude's a command, because, you know, we just aren't naturally that way. And so then I got to look, and I'm like, okay, time for a little Greek lesson here. You know, what is this word for gratitude? And so I got to looking and doing a little dig, and I found it's two words. It's almost there. Good job. Here we go, buddy. Echo charis equals have grace, which is what is translated as gratitude. When I saw that, have grace, that's what gratitude is. It's have grace. Have grace. Gratitude, have grace. And I was like, yeah. And then I got to thinking about how much grace God pours out into my life and said, okay, maybe this gratitude thing is not so bad after all. Maybe, you know, because the grace of God has been poured out into my life, there's something to this. And so I don't know about you guys, you know, but you know, I just looked at my notes here, and this is not there, but if you find yourself easily offended or angered, road rage, hello, any road ragers in the house, you know, that's my road, and you just got in front of me, you know, it's just like, you know, road rage, man, that's not a lot of grace in road rage. And so, you know, there's a great place for y'all to practice. Just get on 620, drive up and down 620 all day, and practice having grace. And just be grateful that that person that cut you off didn't hit you, you know, didn't run into you. That person that failed to signal before they turned, or that person that's driving too slow when you're in a hurry, you know, all those things. Just be grateful that, hey, you have a car and you can drive it. Just find the grace. Because, see, grace, guys, I think grace is the foundation of the fuel. It's the foundation of gratitude. It's the fuel for gratitude. It's what makes it happen. And grace, guys and gals, is a gift from God. And so when I got to thinking, okay, wait, be grateful is command, but gratitude is having grace, and grace is a gift from God, all of a sudden things start clicking together, and I'm like, time out here. Gratitude is a gift. It's empowered by God. It is something that comes to me purchased on the cross, where the grace of God was poured out for me. All of a sudden, it becomes easier for me to be grateful, because grace is at the root. Grace is at the foundation of all of this. So I'm like, that's good stuff. You know, gratitude, I think, keeps our heart focused on the goodness of the grace of God in every circumstances. So God is good. He's still good when I'm angry. God is still good when I'm offended. God is still good when I hurt. He's still good when I'm lonely. He's still good when I'm doubting. And by the grace of God, Jesus hurts when we're hurting. So we're never alone in a painful moment. I was thinking about that too. I was like, you know, because sometimes when we're really struggling, it's harder to be grateful. And then I got to look, and I remembered in my favorite chapter in the Bible to preach is John 11. It's Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And of course, if you grew up in church, if you didn't, that's cool. Just know that there's dumb stuff that happens when you're a kid growing up in church sometimes. You know, it's like, oh yeah, what's your favorite Bible verse? John 11:35. Oh yeah, what's it say? Jesus wept. You know, it's like, yeah, I know scripture. Jesus wept. You know, but it's there. Jesus wept. It's like John 11:35. He wept. And when did he weep? He wept right before he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He, Jesus, the King of the world, who earlier in the chapter knew that Lazarus was dead. Even though he told the guys, he said, this isn't going to end in death. It's cool. Yeah, I know he's really sick, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. And then he sat down and had another sweet tea. and hung out with his disciples. And so he was hanging out, and then finally he goes, and he gets there, and now Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And everybody's like, oh, Jesus, if you had been here, oh, and there's mourning, and so much mourning going on, and everybody was just grieved and weeping. And then the Bible says Jesus looked around, and he wept. And the people said, see how he loved him. If he'd been here, he could have kept him from dying. And then Jesus prayed and said, God, I know why this is all happening. And I think, why did he weep? Because he knew what was going on. He knew that he was about to pull Lazarus right out of the grave. So why would he weep? And the only thing that comes to me is that Jesus, the gracious Savior that he is, he looks at us when it hurts, and he hurts with us. And he's like, dude, I walk with you in this. And he just stands there, and he says, oh, look how they hurt. It hurts, too. I get that. And he feels that stuff, you know. And so that's the kind of grace that I think, man, when that starts empowering who I am, that starts making me grateful. And I'm just like, this is really good stuff. So, you know, guys, if you're a follower of Jesus, you got a whole lot of stuff to be grateful for. So here we go. Verse 28 says, again, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That's nice. Fire. If you lived here in 2011 and saw what happened to Bastrop, you know what consuming fire does, you know, where houses would be gone in like minutes. Just, you know, that kind of fire is incredible. Consuming fire is massive. A buddy of mine was touring the devastation, and the guy that was giving him the tour said, you see this burned out car? And he's like, yeah. He said, what kind of car was it? I said, I don't know. The consuming fire that came through Bastrop just destroyed this car. And he said, look closer. Where's the motor? And he's like, there was no motor, because it was a Corvette with an aluminum block, and it melted. That's how consuming the fire was. It melted the engine out of the car. And I'm like, whoa, consuming fire, that's some serious business. And God is a consuming fire, which is just a quick reminder that God has not only made you part of his eternal kingdom, but he has spared you from his holy, infinite wrath. That's enough to make you grateful, because when God's wrath is poured out, that's consuming fire. And so we have a lot to be grateful for. Because the grace of God was poured out on my life so that my engine doesn't get melted out, so to speak. So I think gratitude always leads us to worship, and it leads us to generosity, because it's God's will for your life. Let's go back again. You know, people always say, what's God's will for my life? You know, it's like, you know, I don't know that. You know, anytime you look in the scripture, you'll look and see, and this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it's almost always things like this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Guess what, guys? I forgot to turn on my timer. I have no idea. Oh, I've got 3 minutes. You're a liar. So, all right then. Wow, I got 3 minutes. We're going to do this. Here we go. So, generosity, guys, I believe that's heart's grateful response to the gospel. That's just it. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 1, he says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I think the grace of God, when we get grateful, it leads to action. I've seen it among you guys, and I see it in my life, and it's just like, you know what? I'm grateful It leads me to action. I just can't help it. You can't just be grateful and sit around just, you know, when you're grateful, you just want to do stuff. And you just want to say, yes, you, I love you, you know, and give them a hug. And it's just that kind of a thing. It's just how it is, you know. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. I think that, you know, when we're grateful and generosity happens, we begin to see the miraculous happen around us. Generosity just brings us into the presence of the miraculous. When I got to thinking about that, and I was just like, you know, some have entertained angels unaware. You know, I don't know if you all know this or not, but, you know, sometimes angels, man, they're hanging out, and you don't know that they're just hanging out with you, and you don't know that you just encountered an angel. I have a good buddy of mine that was skiing, and he went the wrong way, and he got himself into a place that he shouldn't have been, and he wrecked, and he was alone, and he was smashed down inside of a snowbank, and he was like, I didn't know what I was going to do, Charlie. I didn't know what I was going to do. And he said, pretty soon this ski patrol dude came, and he just pulled me out. He gave me all my skis and sent me on my way, and I got down the slopes. I was telling everybody what happened, and said the ski patrol man came, and there was a ski patrol guy there, and he said, we don't have any ski patrols serving on that mountain. He said, and so he described him. Well, he was like, he looked like this. Da, 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 da. He said, no, there's nobody that works like that looks like that works here. I'm just like, whoa, some people have entertained angels unaware. I don't know, man. Sometimes I think about that when I see a homeless guy on the side of the road, and I wonder, is that an angel? Maybe I should help him. I don't know. You know, you don't know. It just says it's going to happen. And when we get generous, I think that we're going to see the miraculous happen among us. I think hospitality and generosity, they're two sides of the same coin. Just how it is. And we have a lot of really hospitable, generous people sitting in this room, and that's really pretty cool. So then we move on down in the scripture, and it says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Then he says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So I get it when I was looking at that. It's like, okay, show hospitality to strangers. Yes, awesome. And then come on down. Let your life be free from the love of money. Yeah, that's right. You know, it's not going to control my life. And then I'm like, so what is the whole prison and marriage have to do? Why is that stuck in here? And, you know, I was like, why is that even in there? That doesn't make sense. We're talking about being generous and grateful. And then I got to thinking about it, and I was just like, you know, when we're grateful, those that hurt the most, you know, I mean, I think that the writer of Hebrews here is talking about, he's talking about brothers and sisters that are really in, I mean, they're in prison. How much more struggling can it get? You know, they're being persecuted. There's the persecuted church going on, folks. I mean, it's all over the place. Just, you know, get on, you know, there's several good websites out there that you can get on and say, whoa, okay. You know, there are countries where, you know, I've talked about often, it's illegal to be converted into Christianity, but yet the church is exploding. And so if we have a heart of gratitude and generosity, those people are going to be on our hearts. They just are. You know, our brothers and sisters who struggle around the world are there. So what's the whole marriage thing? I was like, what? You can't be grateful for the gospel. I believe this. You cannot be grateful for the gospel and have a low view of marriage. You can't have a low, casual, biblical, unbiblical view of marriage. Because here's the thing. I'm just going to, super short, I would give you a whole long sermon on this, but if you study the scripture, you will not find another metaphor given for God's relationship to the church. I mean, we're called the bride of Christ. He's called our groom, right? And the big marriage passage in Ephesians talks about, you know, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. You know, I mean, marriage is the metaphor for the gospel.
It's like the living representation of the gospel to a lost world. When people, you know, I'm amazed that when I tell people, especially young people that I used, you know, I used to work in this environment, international ed, where pretty much everybody's like 25 to 35. And when I tell them that I've been married for 34 years, they just look at me like, huh? How is that even possible? You know, they just look, what? It just doesn't compute for them. And I'm like, yeah, for 34 years, and it's awesome. And there's been some tough stuff. I mean, Crystal can tell you. Yikes, you know. But yeah, because she's had to train me. I'm tough to be trained, but she's done really well. So I think that's why it's there, because when the grace of God takes hold of us, then marriage becomes a really important thing. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to be afraid. What can man do to me? So there's these people, guys, the Macedonians in the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Macedonians. Later in Acts, we'll get there when Paul is hanging out and he's like, he has this vision of this man in Macedonia saying, please come, tell us the gospel. And so Paul goes to Macedonia and he establishes churches there, and it's awesome. And they're dirt poor. They're dirty dirt poor, these people. But yet we get into 2 Corinthians and we see this place that didn't have a church now has a church, and this church is so grateful for who they are in the Lord that they become crazy generous. And I just love this. Let me just read this and then we'll call it. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among you. Grace of God. Gratitude. Have grace. Gratitude. Come on, guys. You're not going to, it's Thanksgiving, people. You can't go be thankful without thinking, yeah, you're going to eat some turkey and think, grace of God, give me this turkey. You know, in my case, we're going to be having some brisket. My son-in-law is going to smoke a brisket. And I'm like, yes, I hate turkey. I mean, turkey's okay, whatever, you know, but give me some brisket. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be like, grace of God, every bite. Yes, grace of God, every bite. So about the grace, sorry, I get distracted. That has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, I don't know what that is, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. You just got to go read that a few times and go, that just doesn't all flow together right. You know, we would write that as something even more, you know, like in their amazing prosperity and their abundance of joy and their extreme wealth, they overflowed in generosity, etc. But that's not what happened. Their extreme poverty. And it says, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love, see that you excel in this act of grace also. So Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he's saying, guys, you guys got it going on here. You guys, he says, you know, you guys have faith and speech and knowledge, and you're earnest and loving. He said, but you need to check out the Macedonians and try to be like those guys. See that you excel in this act of grace. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Thanksgiving, have grace, be grateful. I'm excited for this week, but you know the cool thing about having the grace of God is, you know, I asked somebody this week, did it show up in the E! News? Why is Thanksgiving, why are we only grateful once a week, one week of the year or something like that, or one day of the year. Basically, you know, the fourth Thursday of every November, we're grateful, you know. And then on Friday, we go out and, you know, beat up everybody to get the sales, you know, because I need more stuff. You know, it's like we forget all the gratitude, forget the brisket, give me some more stuff, you know. And I think Black Friday is, you know, Satan's way of just helping us to forget the grace of God that's been poured out in our lives. I got this stuff I don't need on sale. It's awesome. Okay. Sorry, you better come save me now, right now, Marco, before I really just step in it.
So you might have found that some of the slides were hard to read. We're doing a new thing here in Church at Lake Travis, Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis, is we're trying to, it's called Mystery Scripture. You've got to try to figure it out. So I bet you all were sitting here thinking, wondering, what was that thing that was up there? We had you engaged, didn't we? Huh? Next week we'll put it back to normal because you want to know when it's going to happen, otherwise it loses its edge. So you're going to just keep you guessing. It's good to be here this morning. I have been away in South Africa over the last 2 weeks. I see a lot of people have gone to visit family over Thanksgiving. Charlie did a great job this morning. And I'm going to just bring it home just with a quick reminder for those of you that are here. You can go to the first slide of the next section there, guys. So you might have received in the, I don't know what you call it. Is it mail or post? Mail. We don't have mail in South Africa. It's very novel here in America. We get stuff in the mail. In South Africa, it gets stolen, so it never gets to us. So I'm always surprised when stuff arrives in my house. I'm like, what? It's here? I found my green card on my doorstep. Man, they left my green card on my door. I mean, that's insane. They sent me my credit card and my PIN was stapled onto it. That's like, for South Africa, that's a miracle, guys. Anyway, so we sent this letter out. It's called the Christmas Impact Offering. You'll notice the trees, our new Hope Rock tree. It was pretty creative, I thought, at least. But the reason I'm here this morning is I just want to give you a little bit of insights as to what this is all about. It's about our hearts and where we want to go. Charlie did a great job in sharing this particular letter written to the church in Corinth, you know, by Paul. And what he's doing ultimately in this is he's reminding the church in Corinth of a promise they made. See, the Corinthian church knew that the Jerusalem church was suffering at this particular moment in time, and they had committed to giving a whole lot of funds to the Jerusalem church. But something happens in the Corinthian church. We'll get to that maybe one day. We'll talk about it. There's a little bit of craziness going on there, and they forget about it. So Paul's just nudging them, saying, don't forget, Corinthians, you promised and you committed to giving money to the suffering saints, as we have saints suffering all over the world. So just live up to the commitments that you've made. That's what's going on in this particular letter. I'm not going to read it all now. But there's some practicalities that I want to just highlight for us this morning from this passage of scripture that Charlie did a great job of unpacking. So the next slide, Tim. What we see in this passage of scripture is that when we give, and Christmas Impact is a time for us to envision ourselves as a church. It's time to think ahead for the year ahead. What are we going to do? All these great things that we want to achieve, especially considering all the things that God's doing in our midst. But I want to tell you this morning that we have to remember that God's grace is what enables us to give. We don't give out of compulsion. Charlie said it. God loves a cheerful giver. It's the truth. When we look at Acts chapter 5 and Barnabas selling all of his possessions and laying it at the apostles' feet, he did that because God told him to do that. We don't expect everybody to go and sell their houses and lay that out at the apostles' feet, because it's a special gift. It was a grace, a command that was given to Barnabas in particular. So we give by God's grace. And so we have to pray to see what it is that God wants us to do. And that's what we're urging you this morning. We give according to our means. That's what we see in the Corinthian passage. But what we also see is that there is a time in our lives where God forces us through his love to give beyond our means. But that's got to be led by God. Okay, we don't give beyond our means unless God's told us to. And if anybody tells you to give beyond your means because God's commanding you, I would cause you to pause and to think it through, because it's the Spirit of God that can do that, not anybody else. Generosity doesn't stop with our possessions. And so as we go into the season of the Christmas Impact Offering, I want to say to you as a church that generosity flows from our giving, but ultimately in through our lives. What I want to see in next year, beyond the things that we need, the practical aspects of the money or the funds is I want to see a mobilized church, a church that is active in the community, that is sold out for the gospel, that's bringing the lost into the kingdom. That's what we need to see. And so what I'm saying to you, generosity is not just about what we give, it's about who we are. Can we be a generous church in 2020, Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis? And so what we've done, and this is really just 5 minutes just to unpack what this letter said. We gave you quite a big target for this year, and all of us, I say you, I mean us. It's never been done before in this church. We've never raised this type of money, and I'm going to unpack as to how we got to this particular number as we go along this morning. But I want to say to you that the one thing I've learned in my life is that we serve a big God, and He's able to do anything. And so my provision sometimes can limit my vision. And so what I mean by that is our dream as a church and the things that we want to do are carefully considered. They're prayerfully considered. This number was thought through by Charlie, myself, the staff, the board members. We've had this discussion. But ultimately, what I've always said is that if we're going to do something, it's got to be bigger than we can afford. Because if it's about us, then it's just us. You know, we can handle it. And so I trust that this is God's vision for the church. The next slide will show you that as we've purposed for this particular amount of money, and I'll unpack what these different areas are now, these areas of giving are broken up into the two riverbanks. You know that we exist to know Christ and to make Him known. And so under knowing Christ, it's about a venue, a new home for us as a church. It's about staffing for next year. And I'll tell you something interesting about that because it's not staffing in the traditional sense. It's about 620 students, and in particular, this trip that we're going to be going on to New Mexico next year, where we are trusting that the kids will come back sold out for Jesus. Not that they aren't already, but even more sold out. But also to make Christ known. That's the next riverbank. It's about going to the nations. God calls us in Matthew chapter 28 to go and not to stay. He calls us to reach people and not to just be comfortable where we're at. And so we're believing that God's going to, through this offering, help us to provide a means for some people to go to the nations that have never been able to go to the nations before because they've never been able to afford it. We're trusting that we can continue to support churches that are in need, people that we love, families that are desperate for finance or funding through benevolence. We want to be able to staff ourselves. And you'll see staffing is both a know Christ and make Him known aspect because we want to bring in interns, but I'll get to that shortly. So just to be clear, this number, and I have no, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that God will achieve this, but when, I'm not sure. And so what I wanted to show to you is as the funds come in through this Christmas Impact offering, we as a church are going to prioritize the way those funds are allocated. And so the first aspect, next slide, is for the building. We're going to make sure that the first $73,000 that comes in goes to fitting out the building that we're moving into. Just as an update on that, we are submitting comments to our plans tomorrow to the city. We're hoping that by the end of the week we get our permit and that we will be able to move in, if not by Christmas. Well, we might have a picnic there on Christmas because there won't be any chairs, but it'll be fun, right? On the floor. Come on, guys, where's your sense of adventure? I'm confident that we'll be in there on Christmas. There might just be nothing else in there, but we'll be there. And so the building's moving ahead, but this is a home. It's a key beachhead into the community. For 11 years, this church has been without a permanent venue. We've been meeting in this hall, which has been amazing. But the challenge, not always in this hall, but the challenge has always been that we can only do church 4 hours on a Sunday. And so this building and this venue is a key resource for us, but not just for us, for the community that we're called to serve. And so we want to make this venue of ours available to the community for things that are important to the community, things that can happen in there. And so we're trusting that God is going to do something major through this place. It's exciting that it's happening, and it is our first priority. So that being said, whatever comes in terms of the Christmas Impact offering will go towards the building first. When we reach the goal that we need to make up the deficit for the building, bearing in mind that the church has been planning for a number of years for this, we do have money. There is a tenant installation allowance, but there is a shortfall. Once we achieve that, we're going to go into the next element, which is benevolence and support. We want to continue to support the Granadas as a family, those people that are struggling today financially that can't make ends meet. We want to be able to support them. And in addition to that, we're going to equip our missions team to be able to continue to support other missionaries in other territories. We want to be like the Macedonian church. We want to be able to give beyond our means. We want to be able to give generously to those that need it. The third aspect of our giving is going to be for next year's trip. We've already got people in this church that have offered to help sponsor some of the costs for students next year. I do believe that our new venue in the Lakeway Plaza will help us reach a new community.
Us?
But along with that, we'll see other people come into our church, perhaps people that can't afford to go to these trips and students that just can't get there. We want to make allowance to be able to subsidize for students that can't afford to go to New Mexico, but who are entitled, just like every one of us, to be able to hear the gospel and to be able to experience something that they've never been able to experience before. The fourth aspect is the nations. Remember, these are the order in which the funds will be allocated. Next year, we're going to Roatan again in February. And again, there are people that I know money might be tight for. And so we want to help subsidize the cost. These are international trips. We're also going to World Equip next year as a church. The New Covenant Ministries International World Equip. It's in South Africa, where over 50 nations, in fact more, are represented in one place. It's an opportunity that only comes every 4 years. And it's a place where I believe the apostolic will be poured into people's hearts. And because it's a long trip and it's an expensive one, we want to try to subsidize some of those costs as well. But in addition to that, we want to leave some flexibility in that budget in case God wants us to apostolically support another church. Maybe there's a church plant going on somewhere in the world. Maybe we know of someone from this church that wants to plant another church. And maybe we can support them in ways that we've never been able to support them for. That's what that part of the funding is for. And then lastly, the staffing aspect of this is we want to bring in interns next year, one a month for every month of the year, from countries outside of the United States, but even people from inside the United States, kids that are studying right now to go into full-time ministry. We want to give them experience on what it means to be in an amazing church, right? Because we are an amazing church. Can I hear an amen? But in addition, we want to not just teach them about full-time ministry, we want to learn from them. And the reason why this particular aspect is apostolic as well is that we're sending those kids out afterwards. They go back to where they came from, and they take a little bit of our DNA, and they take our DNA and they implant it somewhere else. And what a privilege. It's one of the greatest ways that we can affect the nations is by bringing young people in, equipping them in our church, learning from them, and then sending them back to where they're going. And so all of these things aside, what we are trusting that all of us will do as a church is to pray into this. Pray, seek the Lord, as Charlie said, and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do to get behind this particular offering? The numbers are inconsequential in the end in terms of what you give, in terms of each individual, because it's God's going to purpose it in your heart. All I'm saying is pray with us as a church. We've set ourselves a big, ambitious goal. It's not one that is easy for man to do in his own abilities, and so we're trusting that God will provide. But understand that we as a church are committed to taking this vision no matter what and seeing the nations reach, seeing the city reached, and making sure that we will get to know Christ better and we will make him known in all that we do. Amen? Can I ask us to stand? We're going to have communion now.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.